Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out on this beautiful Palm Sunday to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A lot of announcements. I'm just going to try to touch these quickly and hope you'll take your bulletin home and read them. I'll remind you, the Lord's Supper will be celebrated Maundy Thursday at 7 o'clock. We ask the elders to be here a little bit early for that. And we want to welcome Dan McDonald, who is, some of you may not know this, this is Sean McDonald, a guitarist brother, and he's playing not only today, but he's going to play for us on Maundy Thursday also. So I know you want to come out. They really are, all three of them are wonderful together. Spring congregational meeting will be Sunday, April the 12th, after worship service. I don't know if you, hope everyone has gotten their financial statements in. If you've not, get them to Carol Kane and Lynn Love. You can sign up for scripture readers and prayer requests. You can sign those cards. Christian Education is going to sponsor an annual Easter brunch and egg hunt on Easter morning at 9:30 a.m. So I know you want to bring the kids out and invite some kids maybe from your neighborhood. Children's Sermon, April the 12th with Carol Kane. We have an acolyte recognition on April the 19th, and following that, the deacons are going to serve donuts, fresh fruit, juice, milk, a coffee, and tea. And they're looking for flower donations, artificial, or make it for the centerpiece. The Valley Garden reminder, there are some spots left, and after April the 12th, they'll open up to the community. So if you want a garden here, it's free. Just make sure you sign up. Women's Association volunteers are needed in the kitchen for the monthly luncheon on Thursday and on Wednesday to help prepare the day before. And any building and ground issues, there's a form to fill out on the table in the back. If you need something, you can fill it out, drop it in the offering plate. And we don't want you to approach people before the service, and because it gets their mind off of the worship service, and let's let them enjoy it. And remind you that per capita is $27.85 for each member of the congregation. So, and send this out on email. I know everyone doesn't get it. Bruce Gregory, who visit here some, his sister Kathy visit here quite often, and is Patty's brother-in-law, and that visitation continues today at 2 to 4 and 68, and funeral tomorrow at 11 at Zaleski, is that my name? Zaleski Funeral Home in Lawrenceville. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn with praise, Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna, 174. Good job, guys. Good job. Might have about three times that many running around here. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending the King of Kings. He has entered into our lives. We praise you for allowing your Son to be our Savior. Forgive us when we praise Jesus and then turn away. Help us to have a close relationship with our Lord. Teach us how to live a righteous lifestyle. We are grateful that you have had mercy on us. May we share that mercy with our friends and family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us take a moment and bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Real sense of unity as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let's take a moment and greet one another.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
responsive reading is Psalm 51 on 703 in the back of your hymnals. Psalm 51 and 703. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I remember my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak, and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner hearts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place.
Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity.
Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me.
Let us read together. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. This time I'll ask the elder on the door to come forth with prayer and praise requests.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning, Sandy Salmon is asking for prayer for her son, Joseph Schindler, and his wife, Linda. Joseph is having a kidney transplant, and Linda is giving him one of her kidneys. So we pray for both of them and for the success and of the surgery. We also praise God that there was a match there. Praise request from Cheryl D'Amico for her brother, Jeffrey. All of his white blood cell tests came back negative. And along with her mother, Jeannie, and her brother, Jeffrey, she wishes to thank everyone for their concern and prayers. And from Bill Mueller, praise to God for the return of health to his goddaughter, Karen. Karen suffered severe appendicitis this past week, and earlier this month gave birth to a son, Josh. So we praise God that she is recovering.
I have a few to add. I'm in prayer for Mark and Michelle Teggy. They have now officially moved to Florida, so we wish them the best and a happy life in Florida. Millie Mack is in St. Margaret's. She is under hospice care at this time. They were supposed to meet with the social worker yesterday, so whether she'll stay at St. Margaret's or move to another facility, I don't know yet. Hopefully I'll find out today. Isabel Mellinger is at home under palliative hospice care. So let's continue to remember her. And a special prayer is for Liz McDonald, who was getting a little better and kind of has had a setback. So let's be in prayer for her. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, sometimes it is hard for us to have a sense of joy and to rejoice, even when we have a deep relationship with you. Because the troubles and trials and tribulations of life come against us or our family or our friends. But we know that you love us. You've sent Jesus into the world to be our Savior, that our sins may be forgiven, and that we can have a closeness with you. We truly thank you for that. And you've told us that we can come straight to you in prayer. So we do that in the name of our Lord Jesus. And we lift up all these prayer requests to you and praise requests, and also those listed in the Valley newsletter and our bulletin. And many people have prayer requests for their own lives, but don't speak it out. We come into agreement with one another, knowing that you hear our prayers and answer them according to who you are as our God, a God of love, mercy, compassion. We thank you for that. Help us to accept the answer that is given. And we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, the screen song, He is Exalted. Prayer of Thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for Palm Sunday and what it means for the church, what it means for us as individuals and families and for the entire world, for those who will look to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords. So everything that we do, we attempt to do for your glory, giving of our money, our time, our talents, who we are as individuals. Lord, I ask that you bless this congregation for their faithfulness. Help us to grow in spirit, in numbers, in finances, in our prayer life, our Bible study. Help us to seek these things out. Bless us this day, Lord. In the precious name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
While they're going down, and our scripture reader is coming forward, I want to read something
from the missional process we've been talking about. This is the handout that Doug Ports gave us, and this is step three. It says we will focus on what are the needs of the community. And that's different from what are the needs of Glenshaw Valley Church. What are the needs of the community, the people around us? How is God asking us to respond? How can the church participate in what God is already doing? What kind of a church does God want Glenshaw Valley to be? Where is God calling us to put our energy in the next 5 years to make a difference for Christ's kingdom? Where is God active? How can we connect with what God is already doing? And I want to drop back to one on step three, that you'll understand this. Even though there will be a team put together, the whole church, every person will be involved in this, because you will be given a questionnaire, a church assessment tool by an organization called Holy Cow. And it will be 80 questions, and all members will be asked to fill that out. So it's going to be an 8-month process. So I'm asking you now to be in prayer for it, that God blesses us.
Hello again. Scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, the triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing, untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." May the Lord bless the reading of today's scripture.
Thank you, Arlene. Bradford Robinson tells a story about a minister in Texas who was very creative in his visual aids during the sermon. One Sunday he brought into the stage a beautiful Irish setter that belonged to his youth minister. Youth minister loved this dog so much that when the dog had become sick and had to stay overnight in the kennel, he stayed there and slept with the dog all night. And this dog, of course, returned that love to his master. The senior minister brought the dog on the stage and he rolled a ball across the flat platform and said, "Fetch, Josh, fetch." But the dog just sat still. The minister then asked one of his friends, a large, muscular bodybuilder, to come up to the platform, and this huge muscle man in a very rough tone of voice says, "Fetch, dog, fetch." But the dog would not fetch the ball for the power. Then a banker came to the platform and took out his wallet, and he waved money before the dog and said, "Josh, if you get this ball, I will reward you greatly." But the dog would not fetch for money. Then the preacher said, "Let's try some peer pressure." So he had all the people in the congregation stand up and in unison said, "Fetch, Josh, fetch the ball." But the dog would not yield to the peer pressure. The pastor then had a beautiful young woman that had auburn hair about the same color as the Irish setter. And she came up to the platform and she patted the dog on the head in a very sultry voice said, "Josh, get the ball, Josh, for me." The pastor said that the dog did twitch just a little bit. Finally, he called the youth minister forward. The young man who owned the dog, youth minister, said, "Josh, go get the ball." And immediately Josh flew from the platform and ran, got the ball, and brought it back and dropped it at his master's feet. And after everybody had settled down, the preacher began his sermon by saying, "Now let me ask you, who are you fetching for?" Pretty good question, I think. Who are you fetching for? Who's your master? Is it Jesus, or is it someone else, or is it the things of the world? Today is Palm Sunday, and we are haunted by those ambiguous feelings which have to do with triumph and tragedy, victory and defeat, honor and dishonor. Today is Palm Sunday, and we remember, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Today is Palm Sunday, and there's a crowd of people out there lining the streets to welcome this Jesus into Jerusalem to be the King of the Jews. Today is Palm Sunday, and he comes riding in on a young donkey like the old kings of Israel centuries before had entered into the holy city. Today is Palm Sunday, and some little boy who lives out in the country is the first one come running barefoot into town to tell the news. The King is coming. Jesus is coming down the road to Jerusalem. Today is Palm Sunday, and the King is coming. The King is coming, and no one can remain neutral. The King is coming, and you must decide, will Jesus be your master? You must make up your mind. The King is coming, and we can no longer remain the same. Something's got to give. Something has to change in the way that we think about life. Something has to be different about our loyalties. Something has to be renewed about our commitment to the King of Kings. Something has to be chosen above all those things vying for our attention, and Palm Sunday will not let us rest. It confronts us with a choice. Well, the King is coming to our city. He's coming into our place and into our time. So on this Palm Sunday, 2015, I want to remind you of what is before us today and to ask you, whose voice are you listening to? If we want to be bystanders in the parade, watchers, palm-waving, flag-waving Christians who go home afterwards and just kind of forget about it, then we can do that. If we want to come to church and drop a $10 or $20 bill in, pay our dues, have a good feeling about the worship service, be at ease, and then we can just tell all those around us and the rest of the world, you can just go to hell because I have my salvation. But let me warn you, if you're serious about this Jesus stuff, if you want to be a participant in the kingdom of God, then you'd better watch out. You'd better get ready. You better see the King of Kings coming. The King forces us into desperate decisions. No one can remain neutral about Jesus. You can't. You have to decide. To be neutral about Jesus is to be a quasi-Christian. For many Christians today, it's just church membership. It's like being in a country club and they don't go any further. They would rather be lukewarm. They would rather be warm-hearted. They would rather be contented than committed. They would rather save money than save the world. They would rather attend a Sunday brunch than to attend a gospel feast. On that first palm-waving day, Jerusalem was full of them. These people who live their lives in neutral gear, but we cannot live our lives in a neutral gear. No one living in neutral ever moved forward or climbed a hill or had a dream or caught a vision. There comes a time for every person that they have to make that decision. A boy named Gene Donaldson grew up in a little town in Texas, and he was an outstanding football player. But he was having trouble deciding what college to attend, as many young people do. He was about ready to go to Notre Dame.
Of the many football coaches who wanted him, only one coach went to the trouble of finding out his religious affiliation, which was Catholic. That coach was Bear Bryant. He sent one of his assistants to see him and told him, "I want you to dress like a priest. Black suit, white collar, big cross hanging down." And Bear Bryant said, "I want you to tell him this. The Pope wants you to go to Kentucky to play football." That's before he was at Alabama. And Gene Donaldson did go to Kentucky and became one of Bear Bryant's first All-Americans. He made a decision, even if he was kind of tricked into it a little bit. Palm Sunday is a reminder that Jesus confronted Jerusalem with a decision. And Palm Sunday means that Jesus confronts us with that same decision today. It has not changed in 2,000 years. Some of us have a hard time deciding which crowd we want to be in. Large crowd of the bystanders who watched the parade, or the small crowd of participants who marched with Jesus. Someone has asked the great Methodist evangelist Sam Jones why he came down so hard on the Methodists, and why didn't he go after the Baptists also? He was a Methodist preacher. And he said, "Well, when I get through with the Methodists, it's bedtime." Will Rogers once said, "Everyone wants to go to Rome to see where St. Peter is buried, but no one wants to live like him." Many people would like to go to the Holy Land to see where Jesus lived, but so many people will not let Jesus live in their hearts every day. Almost every person in this country, or I forget the statistics, 80, 85, maybe 90%, have a belief in God. But how many people really put God first in their lives have really made a decision to follow Jesus? Palm Sunday means Jesus confronts us with a choice, and it is a desperate choice because your whole life and eternity depends upon it. The King requires our dedicated devotion. If we make the decision for Jesus, then we're giving him our devotion. That is what it takes to be a Christian in today's world. That's the way it was from the very beginning. Those 12 disciples were there with him. Jesus did not face Jerusalem alone. They were with him not as tag-alongs, but as his true disciples, but as his loyal followers, willing to face Jerusalem with him. It's true that they did not understand all that was going on. It's true that they fell to the side when things got really rough and they got scared under the stress of Holy Week and all that they witnessed. But they would sleep. They would deny. They would betray, hide, and lose their faith. But they were there and they were devoted to Jesus. They dedicated their lives to him. That's what Palm Sunday requires of us. It is as difficult to be a Christian today as it ever has been. More difficult in some parts of the world. You can actually lose your life just for being a Christian. The followers of Jesus have always been a minority, and there are so many things today which compete for our attention. We're bombarded day after day with the idea that we can be happy, satisfied, forever young, and beautiful, and that we can have well-adjusted children, and that we never have to have heartburn, or indigestion, or acne, or gray hair, or headaches, or even ring around the collar. If we'll just send our money to the right evangelist, everything will be good. But that's a lie. We're told that our status, our value, our reputation, our worth is found in the house that we live in, the kinds of food that we eat, what we wear, the automobile that we drive, and where we travel for vacations. But that too is a lie. I think I read a New Testament, a man who filled up his barns and then tore them down to build larger barns to fill them up again. And he says, "I have it made." And what did Jesus call this man? A fool. Jesus offers us the only alternative to the philosophy of society gone mad over amassing things, having to have more and more and more. And that is a new center
for our existence, which puts Christ and the kingdom of God above everything else and not the things of the world. Because these are fleeting. These will be gone from your life one day. Jesus offered Jerusalem that choice on that palm-waving day. And the choice is in front of us today. We can choose to be dedicated disciples who devote all we are to Christ and his kingdom. And that's really the only choice to make. This king offers a dangerous destiny. If we make a decision for Jesus and give him our dedicated devotion, then we are headed for trouble. It does not solve all of our problems. When I first became a Christian, I thought it would. I just become a Christian and just believe everything will be good. It doesn't work that way. It actually can create more problems for you. It does not make life easy. It makes some things more difficult, and it does not make things simple. It makes some things even more complicated in your life. It does not bring rewards and riches, at least for the majority. It could cost us everything. It does not assure of us anything miraculous will happen in our lives, although it may. It leads us to struggle with the mundane, so it can be dangerous in a way to be a Christian. Jesus has spelled out what it means. Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. He had been telling the disciples all along that he was going to Jerusalem and what he would face, and he would actually face death. And there would be a cross also for them if they decided to go all the way with him. And as they got closer to Jerusalem, James and John came to him and asked for places of honor on his right and on his left in the kingdom of God. But he assured them that they would have a place, but it would not be what they thought. They would have to drink from the same cup from which he would drink. The destiny of the disciples was to be a dangerous one, a deadly one, for all but one. As Christians today, everything is not sweetness and light. I wish I could say that it were. If we serve this king, we must be willing to give of ourselves and take a chance and never really count the cost. God is calling us to be his witnesses in today's world because there's no private Christianity. You just can't hold on to it and keep it for yourself. He's calling us to be servants, for there's no sideline Christianity. We're all in the game. He is calling us to be his church, for there is no uninvolved Christianity. A missionary, home on leave, was to spend several months speaking in different churches as he traveled around. In order to get the people to understand where he was serving, he decided to purchase a globe of the world. And he went to a store and he looked at several. The clerk showed him one that had a light on the inside of the globe of the world. And he said, but this lighted globe will cost you more. And the missionary said, I know that it will. Yes, it does. A lighted world costs everything. When the Salvation Army first went to India, the British authorities were concerned about them and issued an order that there would be no meetings, no parades. They didn't know what might happen. But Commissioner Tucker of the Salvation Army decided that that order must be defied. One day the Salvation Army came marching down the street. And they were met by the soldiers. The officer in charge said, in the name of Her Majesty, the Queen of England, I order you to disperse. But Tucker replied, in the name of the King of Kings, I order you to stand aside. The army stood aside. One palm-waving day, Jesus marched right into Jerusalem, the holy city, and said to everyone and everything that is unholy, stand aside. And he's calling us to join him in this parade to say to every form of hatred, every form of bigotry and ignorance and apathy, stand aside. And when we dare do these things, they will stand assigned. His kingdom will live in us, and we will spread his rule to his world, and the kingdom of God will be upon us. So I ask you, will you dare to do it? Will you come join not just the parade, but the true followers of Jesus? Will you let Jesus be your king? Will you listen to the voice of our Lord and Savior? I hope your answer will be yes. May God bless you. Amen. Hymn of Response, O Glory, Lord, and Honor, 173. Sanctuary today. I hope that you will go truly deciding to be a real follower of Jesus Christ. Not just someone who is attending church, but someone who has given their heart, their soul, their mind, everything to Jesus as their Lord. And go out into the world and share the good news in a friendly relationship way. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.